You're listening to Traveling the Silk Road with Belly Dancer and author Layla Najma. For more belly dance articles, free instructional videos, and DVDs, go to Layla-Najma.com. Now, here's Traveling the Silk Road with Layla.
Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? I am a little tired this morning because I worked. I wanted to get some information for you guys on photo shoots, and I think important information. I mean, I knew stuff because of the wonderful photographers that I have worked with throughout the years, but I wanted to get more kind of in-depth info for you guys, things to look for, and then share some stories and stuff like that with you. So I have some tips that I think I want to start off with the photo shoot experience. And I think that a lot of dancers, when they first start out, they have their friends take photos of them, and I know I did, and then we use those photos as our professional photos. And, you know, for the beginning aspects of our belly dancing career, it's okay, but there's a point where you actually have to go to a professional photographer and actually get some photos done. It's just going to be a good investment and something that's going to let people know that you've kind of arrived. And, you know, I know that photo shoots can be a lot of fun. I've done them with my students, and they had a ball. I've done them. I have specific themes that I've done. So photo shoots can be a really good part of your marketing yourself to the masses as well. So let's start with, you know, a couple tips here. Now, I think the first thing that's really important for you guys is to know why you're having your photo taken and have a plan as to what you're going to do with your photos. It's not like to say, hey, let's go get photos done. Have a plan. Have a reason why, and know why you're going to market and how you're going to market your photos. Because I think photos are a part of your, I think it's a part of your business property. It's something that you can use over and over again. And besides, you have good archives, because there's nothing more fun than to look back at photographs and say, oh, I remember that. I remember when that was taken, that kind of thing. But I think once you get it down, that why you're going to be doing your photos, secondly, you have to find a photographer that you connect with. I think the biggest mistake dancers make is that they go to a generic photographer, and they say, I want photos for my belly dancing portfolio. And the problem with that is a lot of photographers out there won't allow you to own your image. And that's one thing that I require all photographers that I work with. I have to own my image. Now, usually if I sign a model agreement or a contract with a photographer so that they can use my photo for other stuff, which, you know, usually I don't mind, I have to have an agreement on their end that I own my image, because it doesn't make any sense to go to a photographer, get dressed up, have an expensive costume on, and then you don't own your image. And then you have to pay them to actually use your image, because a lot of photographers make their money not just by selling you copies of your photos, but they make their money by selling you back your image. And a lot of dancers don't know that. So you want to make sure that you work with photographers who are familiar with the entertainment business, whether it's dancing or acting. And you want to let them know that you expect to own your image. It may make the price of the photo shoot go up, but in the end, it's worth it, because you have to own your image. That's all there is to it. I have a ton of photos that if I didn't own my image, I could be, the photographers can sue you. They can actually have a problem with you using your photos, which it's kind of silly in a way because it's your image, but legalities, you don't want to even have to go through that, so make sure that you own your image. And I think that it's important to talk to your photographer and find out their credentials. You have to know, have they worked with dancers, performers? Do they have they been hired out to photograph theater work, or I mean theater plays? That's a biggie, because a lot of photographers, if you know they actually go and they photograph ballet plays or modern dance plays, anything that has to do with a university or a college or even a high school, or if they actually are photographers for magazines, newspaper, you know they're going to be good. And usually if you find a local photographer who does that, they work with artists and they know that artists need photos, and it won't be hard to say, hey, can I use my image? They won't have a problem with it usually. But make sure you find out their credentials, and then you make an agreement with them about what you need, and then they can tell you what they expect. One thing that I usually do is I take no more than two costumes to a photo shoot, whether it's indoor or outdoor. And if it's outdoor, oh my gosh, maybe it's, I actually went to an old west town between here and Santa Fe. It's an old west town that my uncle, who works in the movie industry, Chip Rodelli, he built. And they actually film old westerns out there. And I took probably with me three other outfits, I should say, outside my belly dancing costume. And I was getting dressed in this building that was just dirty, and it was terrible. And I didn't have a place to put my costumes and my clothes. So what I highly recommend is if you're going to do an outdoor shoot, don't have more than two costumes, because it just doesn't make sense. And plus, photographers will charge by the hour. Unless you work with somebody who is, well, I got lucky because the photographer that I went with to the Old West town, he was looking for artistic photographs, and so we kind of worked out a deal where he could use the photographs for what he needed, so, and then I could use the photographs for what I needed. So we spent the whole day there, and he didn't charge me by the hour. I think the company that owns the Old West town charged, I think, $100 a day for photographers and models. And I just paid my part of that. And I had two students with me, so I think we each paid, you know, I think we covered the $100 for the photographer. And that made it a cheap photo shoot. But with all the different costumes and outfits that I had, it was a really tough day, a long day, and I was exhausted. Plus, you got to remember, if you're going to be having a photo shoot, outside, remember you're going to be in nature. So that means stickers. If you have high heels, they're going to sink in the dirt. You're going to get rocks in your shoes. It's going to be hot. And it may be windy. If that particular day, it rained really, really hard. Your makeup is going to get messed up, so you have to make sure that you take your makeup into a place that isn't hot. You know, if it's in the car, your makeup is going to melt. So you have to think of all these things when you do an outdoor photo shoot. Excuse me. But the best thing to remember is don't pick more than two costumes. It just doesn't work. And then if a photographer is charging you by the hour, then you're going to want to be able to use that hour or two, whatever it is, actually being in front of the camera. You're not going to want to have to spend all that time getting dressed and doing all that stuff. So think about either two costume changes, or just change out a skirt for hair and pants, change out your jewelry, or just change hair pieces out, or change your makeup a little bit. It doesn't have to take a long time, and then you don't have to worry about wasting time and then having the photographer charge you for the time you wasted getting ready. I think that when you're working with photographers, you have to also figure out, I think, what theme you're going to be doing. And I highly suggest themes. You have to figure out what it is that you're wanting to do with your photo shoot. Do you want just dance photos? Do you want action shots? Do you want side profiles? Do you, it depends on what you want. You need to talk to your photographer and find out how the two of you are going to work. And then I think it's really important to realize if it's an outdoor photo shoot, you're working with a third party, which is called the element, weather. And it could be a beautiful cloudless day in the morning, and by, you know, late afternoon, it could be really cloudy and windy and it could rain. You just don't know when you're working with outdoor weather. So I always suggest to have a plan B. If I do an outdoor photo shoot, there's always a plan B, someplace we can go that's indoors so that the day isn't wasted. And, of course, when you do an indoor photo shoot or studio photo shoot, the makeup's going to change a bit. And, of course, the lighting is probably going to be a little bit better because it's easier to fix your makeup to fit the lighting in the studio. But still, you need to have a plan B if you're going to plan an outdoor photo shoot. I think that, and this is one thing that I really wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about photoshopping photographs. And I think it's important to talk to a photographer about their capabilities of photoshopping, you know, if there's hair in front of your face or if your foot's a little weird or maybe taking your foot out, because I've had in some instances where my foot was peeking out of my skirt and it looked really weird. And so I had a photographer photoshop my foot out, and it just made it look like my feet were hidden underneath my skirt. So you want to be able to talk to a photographer about their photo shoot, I mean their photoshopping expertise and credentials as far as that goes, and what they're capable of doing and not doing. One photographer that I worked with, Pat Barrett, who is a really cool photographer, didn't like doing Photoshop. He would do it if I asked for it, but he really liked real life images. And I appreciated that. I actually do too. That's, I would rather have people, when they see photos of me, see the real me instead of the Photoshopped me. And that, there's something to be said for that. I think the real raw photo is, if you have a good photographer, they can make you look good anyways. And if you're good in motion or you look decent in your costume, then you're going to look good. Just remember that if you don't want a lot of photoshopping happening, make sure your costume fits you correctly. Don't pick a costume that doesn't fit right, because it won't look good in front, when you're in front of the camera. Because remember, a camera or of any type is going to photograph you exactly the way it sees you. And then if you're going to be looking at the photographer to Photoshop the bra that's too big or the belt that's too big or whatever part of your costume that doesn't look right, then that's extra work for them, and it's really better to have a well-fitting costume or outfit beforehand and to put it on and to make sure that it looks good on you. Now, when you're working with the outdoors, remember that because the lighting is so different, the light bounces off, the sunlight bounces off clouds, and then it's going to bounce off whatever bush or tree that's next to you, and then it's going to hit you. So you can actually wear brighter, wilder colors for outdoor shoots, and you probably would want to, because the lighting is so different. Because the light bounces off a lot of different places. Now, if you're doing a photo shoot indoors, you probably would want to have a costume that isn't one color, but is probably decent colors that I'm not going to say are kind of boring, but you want to have colors indoors that actually work with your skin tone and will work with the bright lights in the studio. So you can wear really bright clothes outdoors. Inside the studio, you want to just tone it down a bit, because then what will happen is the bright colors can overtake your smile, your face, or whatever, and you don't want people to see your costume first and then you in the photograph. Outdoors, because you have the elements around you, you can get away with doing that, but not indoors. Indoors, it's a different ballgame altogether. And we're going to talk about makeup here in a few minutes, because makeup for outdoors is different than makeup for indoors. So as far as the photoshopping aspect of photos, I think it's really important to have people see the way you really look. Now, if there are certain things that need to be photoshopped out, that's different. Group photos are really hard. And I noticed that with my students, that if I had, I had a photo shoot with Pat Barrett where we were in Santa Fe, and I've written about it quite a bit. And it just didn't work. It didn't work because Pat was grumpy. And you want to make sure that your photographer doesn't get grumpy with you. So it just kind of ruins the photo shoot and the flow and the energy. And I had students, some were brand new. They were beginner dancers mixed in with intermediate and professionals. And I was going to actually position everybody, their arms, and make sure that they looked kind of like a Vogue kind of spread. I wanted it to be very avant-garde. Well, Pat had a different idea, and even though we talked about it beforehand, he changed his mind, didn't tell me, and he just wanted us to pose. And the girls looked like they were mannequins. Actually, one of my students looked like a mannequin, and even she said, oh, my God, I look like a mannequin, because she was so stiff and nervous. And I think if I could have positioned the girls and made them more comfortable, the comfort level would have shown on their faces and with the ease of their bodies. So you can't Photoshop out someone who looks nervous and stiff. You can't do it. So group photo shoots are harder to actually work in with a photographer, because everybody is positioning their arms slightly different, even if you have everybody, like, say, for instance, lifting their arms up. Everybody's going to be slightly different with it. So that's why you need either the director or somebody who knows the dance to come in and position everybody's arms before the photographer takes the picture. And unfortunately for us on that day, none of the photos came out where we were a group, because my professional dancers looked awesome, and so did the intermediate with their arms, but the beginners, you could really tell the difference between the level of experience. And so I couldn't have him Photoshop their arms out. I mean, they wouldn't have any arms. So I couldn't use the photos. And it was the first time that I actually worked with Pat where I told him I can't use any of these photos because they just didn't work. Second photo shoot that I actually had was amazing. It was with Michael Miller, and I explained to Michael L. Miller what the problem was in the first photo shoot. He said, no problem, Layla. You can position the girls any way you want. A few of the girls backed out because they just believed that the second photo shoot could be any better. And they had a good time with the first photo shoot, but they weren't happy with the photos. So I had a few girls back out. And we probably had, 1, 2, 3. There were four of us, and I think there were seven to begin with. But the four of us were there, and the photos were fantastic, and I was able to position everybody, and we were able to play around with movement. And I wanted movement to be art, so I wanted kind of an artsy-fartsy style of a photo shoot. And that's where you have to come in with your theme. And you want to make sure that your theme fits in with your students, because if you're going to do a studio photo shoot, or if you're going to do a troop photo shoot, you have to make sure everybody is up to par with the theme and that everybody looks comfortable in their movement. It's just a given, or like in my instance, it just won't work. I think that with photo shoots, the important thing to remember is that it's not always about smiling. Now, I'm not saying don't smile. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you pick a theme, my first theme was Cleopatra, of course. And so I wanted to actually have a look to me that wasn't just Cleopatra smiling in modern day America. I wanted it to be a timeless photograph. And so I worked with another photographer. His name was Jeff, and he worked in the movie industry. He was a film producer, and he had worked on a lot of famous films, and he loved to work with photography. And so I was able to work with him, fortunately, before he left for, I think, Korea. But anyways, one thing that Jeff taught me in that particular photo shoot is that you have to come to the photo shoot as an actress, and you have to, if you're going to portray Cleopatra, or if you're going to portray Anaxuna Moon, or if you're going to portray Martha Graham or Ruth St. Denis, or if you want to do an actress, or you want to do Salome or Delilah, you have to get into character. And so Jeff said, look, if we're going to do this photo shoot, you have to be in character, and you have to have costumes appropriate, and you have to do your makeup appropriate. So for that particular themed photo shoot, it was indoors, and I had a wig on, actually. I had hair pieces on. And I was able to think of the different movies that I've seen, like with Elizabeth Taylor, and then another Cleopatra with Claudette Colbert. And then remember, Theda Bara was also Cleopatra. And if you remember the silent era, the silent movies, all of those actresses had to portray a certain personality, something that told the story, because you had people like Clara Bow, Theda Bara, Anita Page, Norma Talmadge, Mary Pickford, Barbara L'Amour, and she was actually she died very young, and they named Hedy Lamarr after her. You remember Hedy Lamarr was in Samson and Delilah. And then you have Mary Astor, and there's a lot of other great silent era movie stars that you could tell by the look on their faces what was going on in the movie. And so you have to kind of think in those terms of acting instead of like in modern day where we can hear everybody talking. In those days, they had to portray the emotion or emote the emotion in their faces. And that's the one thing that Jeff taught me, was that it's not about looking at the camera and smiling. It's about maybe a side profile. It's about maybe looking up at the ceiling or looking down at the floor. It's about turning your back to the camera and doing a side profile. But you have to remember which is your best side. Now, my best side profile is my right side. Yours might be different. But I know that if I have pictures taken, I want the light hitting my right side if I'm doing a side profile. You just have to know stuff like that and know what parts of your face are going to be photographed the best. So when you're working on a photo shoot and you're working on a theme, you do have to get into character. And even if you have a group of students you're working with as their director and their teacher, that you have to make sure you're like the director of a movie, and you're going to have to get them into character. And I think probably the funnest way to have photo shoots is to have themes. And I think at this point, I can't remember how many I've had. I've had a peacock feather theme and a Grecian theme. I've had photos taken with wolves where I was, Layla the Wolf Woman. I've had a Nox and a Moon theme, King Tut's actual wife, and I think she was like 14 or 13 when she married King Tut because he was so young. And I'm not talking about the Nox and a Moon in the movie The Mummy. Now, I was inspired by the way that Nox and a Moon looked in the movie, but and I did take on the body paint from that movie. But I'm talking about the Nox and a Moon, the actually King Tut's wife. And then, of course, I've already said I did the Cleopatra theme. I did New Mexico Badlands theme, where we went to an area where it was just desert and gorgeous. And I just had on hundreds of coral beads, coral and amber beads, just over the top part of me and nothing else on for a top. And I had, of course, my belt and my skirt and stuff like that. But we wanted to make it more of a sensual look. And then I've had a couple of other themes. And just recently I had a photo shoot with Vivian Skripkas, who is 16, she's probably the best photographer I've ever worked with. And we did a New Mexico theme, and it was really based on locations, not me. It wasn't necessarily what I was dressed in. It was locations around me since it was an outdoor shoot. So they've all been a lot of fun, and I can't tell you how much I learned from each one of them of what to do and what not to do. But if you're going to do an outdoor shoot, just remember that there are two specific times to be photographed. One is in the morning as the sun's coming up. Actually, get out to your location before the sun comes up, which means it's going to be really early. And you want to be in position as the sun is coming up. The second is when the sun is setting. And that's probably my favorite time to do photo shoots because I don't have to get up so early. But I just love that time of the day. That's my favorite. So those are the two best times to be photographed outdoors. If you're going to be photographed outdoors, then be photographed in shade. You're going to have to make sure that, and this is the hard part, the sun has to be behind the photographer. So that means that you're going to be in front of the camera, maybe squinting. So the best way to deal with the middle of the day photo shoots, if that's what you have no choice but to do, is to find places where there's trees or rocks or whatever. Or in my case, we were able to go into these old beat-up buildings, these old ruins on Vivian's family's property. And we were able to do the photos there, even though we were still doing outdoor shots. We were doing indoor as well. So you have to find that shade, and you have to find a place where the light comes in to where it looks good, especially if you're facing windows, if it's looking good on you, and where the photographer can actually get good angles in there. If they can't, you're going to look, well, first of all, you're going to have your eyes either closed or squinted when you're looking at the sun, and you're going to find that because light bounces around, that is just not going to look good. So I think that's important to remember. The timing of the day is everything for outdoor photo shoots. Okay, now, next one is composition. Now, when you're doing outdoor photo shoots, you have to think of the composition of where you're going to be photographed. So I suggest you go, and this is what I did with Pat, is that you go to the location first. And you pick out where you're going to be photographed. That's really important. So, and sometimes you can't, of course. Like with Vivian, I wasn't able to go ahead of time, but there were so many places that we were able to go to that it didn't matter. But the one thing is, with outdoor photo shoots, you're going to have the background a part of the photo. And you're going to want to have a photographer that knows how to frame either a building behind you, a tree, or a landscape way in the back, or the blue sky. You're going to want to be able to work in the landscape behind you, and you have to have a photographer that can frame that in. They have to know where to place you. Sometimes Vivian placed me on the far right side, and on the opposite side was landscape, mountains, and sky. And it just fit because each one of us actually, the landscape and the sky and where I was placed in the photograph, it worked because we were a basic part of the whole image that she was looking at. So nothing took away from anything. Also, photographers have to know to line you up. That means that when Vivian took my photo, she had to have my midsection, okay, or the lower half of me, line up with, say, for instance, something close to me, like maybe it was the railroad tracks. Then the upper half of me had to be lined up with the background of the land where that line was, where before it met the mountains. Maybe there was like hills behind me. She had to line up my midsection to the hills. Then my head was lined up with the mountains. And then above that was the sky. And there's a term, and I can't remember what it is, but the photographer has to know to line you up appropriately to the background. Otherwise, you're going to have you and you're going to have a background where the lines are totally off, and it's not going to have a symmetry to the photograph. So you need to have someone who can take outdoor photographs who have actually worked with people, and they know how to frame you, and they know how to place you in with the elements, with anything in the background, whether it be hills, mountains, trees, whatever. And that's something that actually I didn't really think about when I first started doing photo shoots, but it's something that is, I think, very important and something you should know. So if you work with your photographer and you are working outdoors where you have this massive landscape behind you, make sure that he or she knows how to line you up. I think also for a lot of photographers, and I hear a lot of photographers say this, the eyes are windows to the soul. So you want to make sure that when you're working with photographers that they, if they're doing close-up shots, that they understand how you work your positioning, your side profile, or when you look at the camera, how you're going to position your face, your eyes, whether you're going to lower your chin, whether you're going to lift up a little bit, whether you're going to turn your head a little bit, and exactly what the two of you want to do with your eyes. Because if you want to speak the story with your eyes, kind of like Theda Bara did in the silent movie era, well, then you're going to have to use your eyes. And it's not just the expression of the face. It's really the eyes and what the eyes are saying to the camera. So remember, acting through the eyes is something that photographers talk about. We don't think about that because we're just looking at the camera. But there's an element to acting through your eyes. So remember, if you want to get across a certain mood, then you have to feel that mood, and it has to be then connected from your eyes to the camera. And that's a biggie. That's something that, again, I don't know if everybody thinks about, but I think it's very important. Also, as I said before, avoid the direct sunlight because it's going to make you look bad. I actually had a photographer take photos of me in direct sunlight. Obviously, he was an amateur. He didn't know what he was doing. And I looked harsh. There's no amount of makeup on the planet that can make you look good in direct sunlight. It's not going to happen. So if you're working with a photographer and maybe it looks like they don't know this, direct them to somewhere where there's shade. It's always going to work in your favor. And you want to make sure that you can avoid the direct sunlight at all costs because there's no way you're going to look good. It's just not going to happen. If the day is overcast, you're going to have to remember that the light bounces even more on days where this is cloudy. So if that's the case, then you're going to have to make sure your photographer knows how to work his or her camera, because there's different types of lenses that work best for that. So you want to make sure that they are experts in photographing outdoors. I mean, basically, that's what it is. I was lucky with Vivian because even though she's 16, that's why I call her a little prodigy, she knew everything she needed to do to make sure that, and she even experimented too, which I thought was really cool. But she did everything she needed to do to make sure that the background, the lighting, where the sun was. The best thing you can do is to make sure where you know the sun is. And I think a good photographer will always know where the sun is. And Vivian, she knew instinctively where we needed to be according to where the sun was. And that's why some of the photographs came out awesome, because she knew how to work the camera according to the direction of the sun. She just instinctively knew that. So you have to make sure that your photographer understands that any aspect of the weather, overcast clouds, direct sunlight, or if there's anything that happens, obviously if it's raining, you don't want to be out in the rain. And the cameras can't be out in the rain anyways, but you want to have a plan B even to all of that, as I said before. But you want to make sure you work with somebody who knows the elements. They know what to do. So that's, I think that's probably the best thing possible, the best advice I can give you guys as far as outdoor photo shoots. Now, one thing that I noticed that Mike Miller did is he had reflectors. Even though when I was actually sitting with the wolves, he would have a reflector because light does bounce off, and you don't have that problem in the studio. But you know, you may want to suggest to photographers, and they probably should bring them, but they don't always, because Pat didn't use reflectors with me. But if they do have them, maybe suggest that they bring them in, because a reflector can actually direct light onto you and give you a different look even outdoors. It'll kind of deflect or reflect light depending on where the sun is. And I think that's really important as far as photo shoots. And something that, and actually, to tell you the truth, and this is something that a lot of photographers use, you can get an old bedspread, like a white bedspread, maybe that isn't used anymore, and you can bring that to an outdoor photo shoot with you, and it can be hung up on branches and stuff and used in case you need a reflector. Believe it or not, that's something you can do. So, and just bring some clamps and stuff like that. That'll make it interesting. So let's see. Something added to that, and I didn't even think about this, is you may want to consider when you are having a photo shoot, what time of year you're going to actually do your photo shoot. I think that anytime you want to do a photo shoot, that's great, but if you're going to do it outdoors, I think you have to think about the seasons and what time of the year you want to do it. Like fall is coming up right now. Boy, I think fall is going to be awesome for photo shoots. So any of you listening to this, yeah, go ahead and just plan a photo shoot for this fall, for October, this month or next month. That should be a lot of fun. And then depending on where you live, if it rains a lot and you know the seasons where you live, and you know the times when it doesn't rain, have a photo shoot outside then. Here in New Mexico, we have the four seasons, and it's awesome and it's beautiful. So the best thing to do here is to pick the times when it's not so hot. I can't stand to be in the heat. When I had the photo shoot with Vivian in July, it was pretty hot. But I got to tell you, August and September, well, actually August was probably the hottest month that we had here. So if I do photo shoots, I prefer to do them in the fall and in the spring. Those are my two favorite times of the year to do photo shoots. Winter can be fun, But here it can get really cold, but I'm always up for something new. So you know, if you want to do a photo shoot, pick out the best part of the year to do the photo shoot. Something else I think is really important is make sure that when you work with a photographer, that they work in black and white as well. Because with Vivian, I got the best of both worlds. I got black and white photos and I got color. And the reason why you want to have a photographer that offers both, especially doing an outdoor photo shoot, is because sometimes the photos look better in black and white. It just depends on the lighting and how the light bounces off. But it's really amazing how a photo will change from black and white into color. And I truly believe that black and white brings out the atmosphere and the essence of wherever you're at. It's more mystical and it's magical. And the color photographs actually bring your energy and kind of the modern day world kind of together, and it mixes you in with your element. So it has more of a modern, more today look to it, where black and white photos can actually have the old look to them, the old vintage look, which I think we all love. I think it's important to remember that when you're doing a photo shoot, that you want to remember to breathe, and you want to be aware of your posture and your arms compared to where the camera is. Now, if you're doing an indoor photo shoot, you want to remember just to relax. And you want to remember how to position yourself. So if you're doing an indoor photo shoot, you want to remember that you don't want to be, and even outdoors too, but outdoors is a little bit different. But if you're doing a photo shoot in a studio, you don't want to be photographed dead on, straight on. You want to curve and angle your body and turn your upper body and angle it towards the camera. So, and I don't care how tall, how thin you are. I don't care if a person is 100 pounds. If you are photographed straight on into a camera, it's going to make you look square. I mean, you'd have to have, I think, a figure like Marilyn Monroe, an hourglass figure, curvy, 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 to get away with being straight on. And most photographers, in fact, every photographer I've ever worked with always wanted me to turn and angle my body and turn my upper body towards them. It's just their preference. So just remember how to angle your body and follow what the photographer tells you. And it's easy to get confused with your right to your left side. So when they say turn right, you know, you turn left. Well, it's just being nervous working in front of a camera. But you want to just make sure that you relax as much as possible, especially with your sitting poses as well. And remember, there are four main types of modeling poses. There's lifestyle pose, movement pose, portrait pose, and body pose. Now, the lifestyle pose evokes a sense of everything living, everyday living that is common with the body, body movements, facial expressions that you would probably have throughout the day, you know, like moments of happiness, love, anger, hope, whatever. And you want to make sure that if you want to succeed with a lifestyle pose, that you're able to recreate any of these specific movements and I should say emotions throughout the photo shoot. So you want to make sure that your movement with emotion is real, just like in everyday life. Like if you're washing dishes or you're walking or whatever, you want it to be natural and you don't want it to be too contrived. The movement pose captures a specific action, kind of like running or jumping. And for us, it would be twirling our veils, canes, or just whatever we're doing. So you want to make sure that you're having a good time doing it. I think when you're doing an action shot, a movement shot, you don't want to be serious. That is the one time you do want to smile, because you want to look like you're having fun doing what you're doing. And so just take it to the next level, laugh, have a good time, and do what you need to do. Now, the portrait pose is really kind of focuses on the face of the model. And it's really, it's kind of based on facial features. So this is where you're going to want your makeup and your hair and everything perfect. But you're going to also want to have a casual and a warmth to you. So you're going to want to just be comfortable and just easy in front of the camera. And especially if it's going to be a close-up that you're using for a promo photo. You just want to have it look like it's you. You want to be careful with your makeup. You want to make sure it's not too extreme at this point. And so the best thing to do before a photo shoot is just remember to hydrate your body and drink extra water. That's always a good thing to do. Now, the last one is the body pose. And that's when you really learn how to shift your weight between your hips, and where you work your arms, and you actually stretch, and it's actually in the photo shoot that we did with Michael L. Miller. Sometimes the poses were really painful because we were really working with the body and angling and trying to move in with each other, and we were trying to get an artsy feel to it, but something that was more body-oriented, so the body was really the main focal point of the photo. And I think we did that. So what you want to do is you don't want to, on a body pose, you don't want to focus too much on your face. You want to really put your attention into your body and the angles and what you want to do with your body. I think that's really important. Now with makeup. For your makeup, the first thing that you're going to want to do for your makeup is you're going to want to apply moisturizer to your face, whether it's indoor or outdoor. Because if you're going to be photographed in the studio, the camera's going to pick up if your face is dry. It's going to pick up if your face is oily. So you want to moisturize, but with a moisturizer that is kind of, it's like a, I think it's mattifying. I think it's called a mattifying moisturizer and concealer for non-oily, probably for people who have oily skin or people who have just average skin. So what you're going to want to do is moisturize and use a concealer that's mattifying, that kind of is the same color as your skin color, maybe just a shade lighter, because then you're going to put on your foundation. And your foundation is going to be, you're going to want it to be evenly distributed all over your face, and you don't want it lighter than your skin color. You want the foundation to actually be the same color. And then you want to make sure that the foundation, that you don't miss your chin and your neckline, because in a close-up shot, the camera's going to show that line, and you're not going to want that line. And I think it's important if you, at any given time, whether it's outdoor or indoor, to have a powder with you. And I do. I use the Bare Mineral makeup. I love it for outdoor and studio photo shoots because it helps me with my face getting oily and shiny. And the worst thing you want to have happen when you have your photos taken is that shiny face or an oily face. So just make sure that you have some kind of powder. Or I highly suggest the Bare Minerals makeup. So, your lip color. This is really important. For your lip color, you want to use a lip liner. And your lip liner, you want the same color as your lipstick because you don't want any harsh lines to show up on the photograph. So if you've ever noticed those women who they line their lips with a dark color and then they don't color in their lips and you have this really severe line drawn outside their lips, you don't want to have that for your photo. You just don't. It won't look good. So you want to make sure that your lip color and your lip liner are the same color. So, and one thing too is that unless you want to do Halloween, don't wear black lip liner or really dark colors on your lips. It's best to have pinks and reds, depending on what kinds of colors that you like. It's best to have colors that are more complementary to your skin color. Now, your blush, you want to apply the blush to what's called the apple of the cheek. So you just want to make sure that when you use the blush that you and the foundation, that it's more extreme than what you do for everyday wearing, because you want to have a little bit more of the foundation, the concealer, the blush, and the lipstick on for your photo shoot. Your eye makeup, one thing that is really important is for your eyeshadow to be, I think, in the plums, the eggplants, the browns, colors that aren't really extreme for your face. I saw a belly dance competition on TV, and a lot of the dancers had very extreme makeup that took away from their faces. They had blues, almost Cleopatra-style blues. Now, I know that in our dancing that we have a specific look, and we want to have that Egyptian look to our eyes, but you don't want in your photographs for it to be so extreme that you look like you're a painted clown. And some of these gals had too much eye makeup on, even for TV, and to me, they look like clowns. So that's just the way it felt to me. And it looked on TV, and I couldn't get past the eye makeup. In fact, the eye makeup actually, I couldn't tell you what color their eyes were or who they were because I was so busy looking at their eye makeup. So make sure that your eye makeup actually fits you and it's blended. And what is the one key element that any makeup artist tells you? To blend, 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 blend. Constant blending. So when you're working your eye makeup, you want to make sure that you work in with your eyeliner. You want to make sure that the eyeliner, now they say not to use black, but I do use black, but I blend it. I just like the look of black, but I make sure that it's not a severe line. Most makeup artists don't want you to have a severe line anywhere on your face when they put makeup on you. When I use black, I blend it, but you can use an eggplant color, a dark brown for your eyeliner if you want, and just blend it in with your eyeshadow. And just remember that for your crease, you want, or let's just say the ball of the eye, you want to have a dark color there. And for the crease of the eye, which is on the outskirts of the eye coming into the middle of the eyeball, you want to have that part of the eye a little bit darker. And then underneath the eyebrow, you want to have a highlight there. So and then with your eyeliner, you want it to make sure you blend it in and it's the right color that matches in with your eyeshadow. And so when I use black, I make sure I blend it really well so it's just a slight line of black that's blended in. I like the look, but you can always use eggplant or dark brown if you want to make sure that it blends in well with your eyeshadow. And the best thing to do on photo shoots and even indoor photo shoots, outdoor, indoor photo shoots, is to take your makeup with you and just to realize that you're going to have to keep working and applying that makeup and just to make sure that you don't have anything shining on your face. When you're outdoors, you're going to sweat the wind is going to be blowing and you're going to have dirt on you in your hair. So you're going to have to adjust for that, or you can get something in your eye, or you can, for whatever reason, anything can happen out in the elements. And I've had it happen. I've actually skinned my knees and had to look like I was enjoying myself in front of the camera when I had my knees bleeding. So there's no telling what can happen when you're doing an outdoor photo shoot. So just make sure that you prepare for the elements. Make sure that you take your makeup with you. It's important to take it with you when you do your outdoor photo shoot or with your indoor photo shoot. And sometimes photographers actually have makeup artists. Michael L. Miller had a makeup artist on site for me when I did the Wolf photo shoot, and it was fantastic. But because I didn't know her very well, and because I've worked with makeup artists, I didn't like everything that she did on me, so I kind of changed some stuff up. But if you can find a photographer that does work with a makeup artist, that is fantastic, because they can actually fix your makeup when you're actually outdoors and fixed your hair, because she had a brush with her, she had makeup with her while I was sitting there with Raven, the first wolf, who was the black-faced timber wolf, and he was getting slobber all over me at that time. So, you know, she was able to fix my hair or do whatever needed to be done, wipe me off from with the wolf drool or whatever. So that was a lot of fun, but it was nice having her around. So I highly suggest, if you have an indoor photo shoot or outdoor photo shoot, that you have an assistant or have somebody who knows how to take care of your hair or knows how to fix your makeup. If the photographer doesn't have anybody, I suggest you bring somebody with you. And then, too, that especially if they're dancers, they're going to know if something does work and if it doesn't, because sometimes when you're in front of that camera, you're a little blind. So it's good to have somebody with you who can say that move works, that move doesn't work, especially if the photographer isn't used to working with a belly dancer or an entertainer. I think action shots are vital to your portfolio. And I think that with the combinations that I gave you, the photo shoot combinations, there's one where I call it the veil three-step turn, stop, move. And it's just a three-step turn, and you stop right in front of the camera. And that way you have this action going on with your skirt or with your veil, and you're in a position to where you can stop so that the photographer can take your picture, because not all photographers can take action shots. It has to be learned. I have worked with photographers who will tell me, no, they don't want to do that. They don't want me to do action. And the gentleman who worked with film, Jeff, he loved the action, but I had to go a little bit slower for him to actually get the shots that he wanted. With Vivian, I was able to just move and do what I needed to do, and she just kept shooting, and she was testing and exploring and experimenting. So it was great working with her, because she had the 16-year-old, you know, you know how they are. They're ready to jump off the cliff. She was ready to do anything, and that's what was really nice. So I think the important thing is for you guys to know that you have to have the posed moves, right? And you have to have full body shots. You have to know which side is your best side. So I think the important thing for you guys is to also get the action shots in, because you're going to need those for your portfolios. That's just the important aspect of this dance, is if someone says, I want to hire you, they're going to want an action shot. Now, newspapers usually want headshots. Now, whenever I've given newspapers my photos, they always want those posed headshots. And I think that's really important. So the important thing for this particular chat is just to remember that you want to be able to use your body shots, your head shots. You want to be able to use those shots where you're kind of in everyday living, where maybe you can use that for your students. Because your students are, it would be great to have them more natural. So if you can think of a theme where they can be kind of in the studio working together, that would be great. That's what I did with my students. And then you want those action shots. I think the action shots for students, especially troops, is the hardest to get. But there can be a particular group of moves that you can practice beforehand, before you even go to a photographer, that you guys can work on, where your timing is perfect and where your arms are similar to each other. Because if one person has their arm down lower than the others, it's going to show. I mean, that's the one thing that I've noticed with a lot of photographs, especially with troops, is you want everybody as similar and alike as possible. And if you're a sole performer, you know, the action shots, you can do whatever you want. And if you have a good photographer, they're going to be able to take photographs of you. And if you can teach them how to take photographs of you, that's great. Because I did work with Pat Barrett, and I did we kind of worked together really well, and I did show him what I could do that would help him take, you know, those good shots of action. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. It just depends on the photographer. Pat preferred me just to stand there and do things. I like to move and do you know, whatever, especially if I have a veil or my skirt. So it just depends on what photographer that you use. So, kind of went over a lot today, but what I wanted to do is just let you guys know that there's a lot that goes into photo shoots. There is so much that goes into photo shoots. It's amazing. So if anybody has any questions, let me know. If anybody is wanting to chat and join in, you are always welcome to do that. So I appreciate you guys coming in and listening, and I hope this was good information for you. I had fun talking about it and looking up this information. So if you want to call in or email me, feel free. My email is Leyla, L-E-Y-L-A, at Leyla, L-E-Y-L-A, dash, Najma, N-A-J-M-A, .com. So you guys take care. I appreciate you guys coming in, and I will be talking to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to Traveling the Silk Road with Leyla Najma. For more articles, free videos, as well as DVDs, go to Leyla-Najma.com. And The Divine Unrest is available on Amazon in both ebook, Kindle format, as well as in paperback. And once again, thanks for listening to The Silk Road with Leyla Najma.